Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Hey, everyone. Today is a bit more of a personal free-for-all Friday. I thought it'd be helpful to talk with you about something that I've struggled with for a while. And statistically speaking, a fair number of people watching this episode or listening to this episode either struggle with this as well, or someone close to them struggles with this and it affects them in an immediate way. So that's what I want to talk about today here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. During the week on Mondays, we have rebuttals, dialogues, debates, or we really try to break down arguments that are opposed to the Catholic faith. Then during the week, we'll talk about apologetics, theology, how to explain and defend our Catholic faith. And then on Friday, I just like to have fun. So if you're new to the podcast, new to the YouTube channel, Fridays are free-for-all Fridays. I talk about whatever I'm interested in talking about. And oftentimes, the things that I'm interested in, other people are interested in as well. So it's a fun time to explore a wide range of topics, always looking at things through a Catholic lens. So today, what I want to talk about is being a workaholic, someone who is addicted to work and allows work to create an imbalance in their life, even to the point where you treat work as some kind of an idol. So when it comes to being addicted to things, I mean, people are addicted to lots of different kinds of things, right? We're not all addicted to the same things. So some people can drink alcohol and they can just have a little bit, a moderate amount, and they're fine. Other people drink alcohol and suddenly they have to have lots and lots of alcohol or they're not happy. Some people will try illegal drugs. They'll try it once and then they're done. Other people will try it and then they're hooked and they can't get off of it without some kind of intervention or recovery. Some people can go to a casino. Like I can go to a casino and I can gamble and I'll have a set amount of money that I'm willing to lose. And once that money is lost, then I will walk out the door. A lot of times when I gamble, when I go to Vegas or when I've been to Vegas for talks and things like that. And, you know, I'll stop by a casino to play some cards. My favorite thing to play actually at a casino is poker, because you're not playing the house, you're playing other people. Now, when you play a game at a casino, the house always has an advantage. So in poker, you're playing against other people. You actually have a decent chance to make money or at least stay in the game a decent while. One of my favorite memories, actually, when I was in college, I was in Las Vegas, and one night I went in with $50, and I played poker from like midnight till 6 in the morning, and I was done. And by the time I walked out at 6 in the morning, I still had $50. So I didn't win money, but I got to have 6 hours of fun, and I didn't lose money either. But there are some people, they'll gamble, they'll lose their home, they'll lose their livelihood, they'll lose everything because they just can't stop. So there's different kinds. So I'm not addicted to that. I'm not addicted to gambling. I'm not addicted to certain kinds of foods. I mean, I like foods. I like sweet foods. I like good tasting foods. But usually I'm pretty satiated about things. Laura will joke that I'll save food for a leftover, like, oh, I'm good now. I don't need any more of that dessert. And then I'll find it in the fridge like 2 months later, like, oh, no, that dessert that I saved and it's here and I never got around to eating it again. And some people, if they have a dessert, like they'll go through 3 of those in one sitting. But across all addictions, there's something they have in common, that you're trying to hit up a certain part of your brain, right? You seek out something pleasurable and it releases dopamine or serotonin or other chemicals in your brain and it creates that hit. And you love getting that hit out of your brain when you have the stimuli. So it could be gambling, could be food, could be drugs, could be alcohol, could be sex for some people, could be a lot of different things, right? And for me, it's work. And in particular, though, it is finishing a project or achieving something that you're proud of. So I'm not addicted to mindless work or menial tasks, but in my particular line of work, it's a creative kind of profession. I write books. I make podcast episodes. I'll do longer rebuttals. I'll prepare for debates. It's very project oriented. And when I successfully complete a project, when it's doing a podcast episode, when I submit a book for an article for publication or a book manuscript to be published, I get that hit. I get that dopamine hit and it feels really good. And I feel like this sense of relaxation later, like, oh, this is this is good. And it's dangerous because there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. Just like there's nothing wrong with eating a dessert and enjoying the flavor of chocolate. There's nothing wrong with pleasure per se. But when pleasure is sought out for its own good, especially to the exclusion of other goods or in a way that is detrimental overall to one's being, that's where you have problems. And so for me, the temptation I have, and this is something we've talked about here in our here in the Horn household, is like my temptation will be, you know, at night I'll wake up and it's like I feel like I hear the computer talking to me, like I could read one more article, or I had an idea for something, I should write it down, and there's all these things I want to do. And I'll tell you the thing that makes it really hard for me, the temptation to being a workaholic, is that I feel like I'm doing a good thing. It's workaholism, and workaholism can ruin families. It can be really detrimental to people's health. It's a real addiction. It depends what you define like by addiction, of course. Some people say an addiction has to be a substance that you take in and get hooked on. I mean, you can define it that way. I might call workaholism compulsion to work, similar how people might be compelled to gamble, even though if you have a gambling compulsion or addiction, you're not taking in any substances. If you're addicted to pornography or have a pornography compulsion, you're not taking a substance, but it does have a real hold over you. And so when it comes to work for me, I think one of the challenges is that it's a respectable addiction. Like if you're addicted to work, it's like you're not out getting drunk, lying down in the street. You're not engaged in sins like pornography, or you're not losing your home gambling. Like in America, we have a culture of work, so much so we almost idolize work. And so in our culture, if you're addicted to work, it might be on par with like being addicted to exercise. It's like, oh, a lot of people don't exercise anyways, so good for you. It's better than being unhealthy. But you can go the other way. There's people who can exercise themselves to death, just like you can work yourself to death. If it becomes that imbalance, that work, what Pope St. John Paul II has a lot of great writings on work, that work is a good thing, that toil, like the fall in the Garden of Eden, all right? So when Adam and Eve fell, one of the curses for Adam was that he would, by the sweat of his brow, he would have to get his daily lot, his food. So one of the consequences of the fall of man is toil. Toil is not the same thing as work. Toil, T-O-I-L, toil, is like work that's just drudgery, that's just not rewarding, that's mostly known for its difficulty in order to simply have subsistence and to get by. But Pope St. John Paul II said that even if we had not fallen, human beings would still work. Work is good for us. If you don't work, like if you're just living off government entitlement programs, and you can work, but you choose not to. It's not the same thing as being disabled or being in a condition where you can't work. If you are able to work and you choose not to work, that's not good for you. And a lot of people, they feel empty inside when they're not doing that. Now, I'm not just talking about occupation, by the way. Work is not the same thing as getting a paycheck. I would say mothers who stay at home, religious sisters who pray in a convent, that's work. Work is when you're actively doing something. You're not just engaged in leisure rest. Rest is important, and that's where the workaholic comes in. So I just want to be clear. When I say work, I'm not just talking about occupations with paychecks. Lots of people are engaged in work, not doing it to receive money. But I think being a workaholic, I think that is very tempting in the world where you get a paycheck, where the boss rewards you for doing such a good job, and you want more of that dopamine hit. And so I feel like sometimes I've deceived myself and I say, well, what's wrong with me working too much? I'm leading people closer to Christ. If I spend more time writing a book or doing a podcast episode, these are good things. They build up the kingdom. But that's the evil one. That's the devil. That's one of the most seductive lies he tells me that gets me, because I think, oh, 5 more minutes, that's not being a workaholic. I'm okay. This is good. This is helping people. But in actuality, it wears you down. And ironically, being a workaholic, if your goal is to produce a lot of good content, overworking in the long run makes you, and I've seen this, when I have overworked, I become more tired. And there'll be some days I'm like mentally checked out because I overworked. I stayed up the night before and now I'm shocked because I can't be creative. I can't have everything flow together when I'm writing or doing something. In fact, there was a study done in 2013 at Kansas State University. It says that it found that people who work more than 50 hours a week are more than 50 hours per week, were likely to suffer both physical and mental health consequences. The inability to detach from work may initially appear to result in increased productivity. Over time, however, productivity decreases and relationships break down. The stress takes a cumulative effect, and eventually the addiction to work can increase health risks and contribute to premature death. And so it's bad for you, and it's even bad for your company because your output decreases if you're not able to space things out. So that is why I think it's important. It's why I've confronted this. I think especially at the beginning of my career, I was the busy beaver trying to do everything, trying to break out on the scene when it comes to apologetics, you know, writing books after books and this and that. And I didn't take time for myself. And I still struggle when it comes to taking time because I feel guilty. And also what's hard is I get pleasure. I enjoy when some people say, oh, I need a break. Like for me, a break, when I write, it feels good at first. It is a leisurely activity for me. For some people, writing is drudgery. But for me, writing is like, for some people, painting is leisure for them. They just sit and they paint, like painting a portrait or a landscape. That would be absolute drudgery for me. I'm so bad at painting and drawing. If you wanted me to do that, I would find no joy in it. It would feel like work to me. But it's the inverse. So a lot of people consider writing work. It's fun for me. But slowly it turns in from being fun to being work and putting myself into it. And that's not good. That's something I want to focus on. So actually, I have here an article. It says that Norwegian researchers from the Department of Psychosocial Science at the University of Bergen identified specific symptoms that are characteristic of workaholics. They created a work addiction scale to find out, are you addicted to work? Here are their 7 metrics for work addiction. I'll go through them, see where you line up with that, and I'll tell you where I line up. So 1 through 7, the things that show if you're addicted. Number 1, you think of how you can free up more time to work. It happens to me, like, oh, if I just got this done, everything's, all the kids are in bed, all the chores are done, I freed up 30 minutes, I could write a little bit. Number 2, you spend much more time working than initially intended. That totally happens to me. I'll think, okay, I don't set a clock for myself. So I'm like, okay, I'll just work for like 20 minutes and it's been an hour and a half. And I'm like, oh no, it's 1 a.m. What am I doing? And I thought, like, well, I was in the zone writing, but now it's 1 a.m. I'm going to be wrecked tomorrow. Number 3, you work in order to reduce feelings of guilt, anxiety, helplessness, or depression. I want to pick me up. So I'll start writing something or working on a video script or a video. Number 4, you've been told by others to cut down on work without listening to them. Laura will tell me that. Laura, if you're listening, I'm sorry. All those times I didn't listen to you. Even at Catholic Answers, they've told me maybe you should slow down a little bit. Because it's like something I take pride in. I'm like, you know, I wrote 8 books already and done all these different things. But if I burn myself out, what good am I going to be to the kingdom, to my family, to other people? Number 5. You become stressed if you're prohibited from working. I feel like there's these things I need to do, and it's like a cloud hanging over me. I'm like, I got to get it done, got to get it done. If you're telling me I can't work, like, I'm not going to be able to get it done, and it's like a weight that'll hang over me sometimes. Number 6, you deprioritize hobbies, leisure activities, or exercise because of work. Like, sometimes I worry, like, am I wasting time, like, just having fun when I could be producing good content? But life is not just about work, even if it's life served in. And if you're in ministry, this is a big trap, because you'll think, oh, it's not just work, it's a ministry. But God gave us time for leisure, for hobbies. Laura always tells me, you need to get a hobby. Here's what's hard. Like, I really love writing. I tried writing a fiction book a while ago. It's still in its nascent embryonic stage. Maybe I'll go back to that. But I think if I have to pick a hobby, it's got to be like way different from my work. My hobby should not be fiction writing, because I get tempted to do nonfiction writing, for example. I got to do something else. Take a little bit of time for me every day. I don't know, something, probably I should probably pick something in the great outdoors, especially because I work from home. Sometimes I'm just here at home all the time. Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. No, this is not a prison that I'm in, but I turn it into that for myself. If I just work, oh, it's the end of the day. I got to come home from work, which means walking through these doors to see my lovely family, which I love, but then I don't have balance. I didn't take any time for myself, and I have nothing left in my willpower tanks for my lovable rapscallion of children that have abundant energy because I have 3 little boys, and I love that. But if I didn't save willpower for them, that's not fair. Finally, then, number seven, you work so much it has negatively influenced your health. That's happened to me, especially, I think, mostly being tired, like staying up too late working and thinking, oh, if I go to bed right now, I'll get 7 hours, I'll be okay. Except never happens that way. A kid wakes up in the night. I wake up in the night. The cicadas are out making noise. So all of that. So if you struggle like me, if you struggle being addicted to work, I would say take practical steps to separate yourself from work. Have someone put your computer your way and your smartphone away for an hour or two. When I leave the house, we live in a HOA, so we have like a community pool. And sometimes during the day, I'll take a 20-minute break. I'll go to the pool, and I don't take my phone with me. And it's enjoyable because, like, wow, I don't have my phone. I'm free. So I think, and that's hard for workaholics if your boss can get a hold of you anytime with that. Put that stuff away. Set a timer for work, and when the timer goes off, you are done. Also, maybe set a rule. You don't turn on electronics after a certain hour. And learn to say no. Sometimes we're workaholics because we're worried about disappointing people. There is a great book. I think it's called Essentialism. I forget the name of the author. If I find it, I'll link to it in the description of the video. Essentialism. And he tells a great story about how he was like a workaholic. He missed the, like, after the birth of his son, he like went to visit clients. And they were mad to see him because they said, you should be home with your newborn, not with us. So people will respect if you set healthy boundaries. So that book, I think it's called Essentialism. I'll put it in the description below if I can't figure out what it is. So hey, that was my little confession time for you all. I've been a little worky workaholic, something I'm always trying to get away from. Pray for me. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Pray for me that the Lord will help me keep a balance in my life so I'll continue to do good in the world, but not turn work into an idol or a dopamine hit or something like that. So your prayers are always super appreciated. And also because of that, that's why next week, it's not going to be any episodes next week because I'm taking the week off because I'm finally going on vacation. I've taken vacations, but I always end up secretly working on them or shifting things around or it's not relaxing. So I'm going to take a week off and I don't know. I'm just going to have leisure and spend time with family and friends and I'm not going to work. And I'm a little nervous. I'm like, oh, but I got things coming up and I got this, I got that. Yeah, I think it's going to be okay. You know, I never really do this. I'm kind of excited and a little nervous actually. Cause I mean, you know, it's pleasure to work for me, but when I get emails from people saying like, thank you for writing this or doing that, it helped me to come back to the church. Sometimes I feel like, well, if I'm not doing that, what if I'm missing people that I could help them? I think God is telling me, Trent, it's not all on you. It's not all on your shoulders. You can take a break. God is holding up the whole universe. I am not. I can take a week off and God will handle things just fine. I got to be humble. I mean, you know, in 100 years, I don't even think people are going to remember the work of Trent Horn, Catholic apologist. Maybe, probably not. But if it benefits people now, that's what I'm concerned about. But if I don't take time for me, I'll burn out and then I can't help people. It's like on the plane, put your mask on, your oxygen mask on first. So I hope that was helpful for you all. It was a fun, personally disclosing Free For All Friday to share with you guys. Hope that's helpful. And I hope you have a blessed and a restful weekend. So thank you guys. God bless you guys.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.